Awesome. Hello, champions. Welcome to another Champion Reads book club. What I love about this is not really a book club. It's like a book principle discussion that we have because we don't solely focus on the book. But we get into those principles and share what it means and how we become the champions and the heroes in our own lives. I am William Blake. I'm a dyslexic and empowerment coach. And with me today is the other co-host, Ian Sturmer, an author, entrepreneur, and a coach as well. Today, we are going into part two of 10X is Easier Than 2X by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. This is what I read about 60 plus books a year, and this has become one of my top books to read. And I love the little subheading, I guess is what it's called, how world-class entrepreneurs achieve more by doing less. And today I know that we're going to have a wonderful discussion about several topics, but more specifically, the topic of the 80-20 rule. I'd actually just love to turn it over to Ian to describe what the 80-20 rule is and us to just have a really good conversation about it.
Yeah, thank you. So the 80-20 rule, we probably heard before that 80% of our business comes from 20% of our clients. 80% of our revenue comes from 20% of our deals. 80% of our complaints come from 20% of our clients. Seems to be a general rule of thumb of that. And the author in this book brings out a great point. Why do we even bother with that 80%? That doesn't bring in the revenue, doesn't bring in the money, causes the complaints, whatever it is, why are we still holding on to that? Why don't we just focus solely on that 20% that brings in the higher revenue and the higher, revenue, it all comes down to money in the end, but maybe the higher satisfaction as well. Why are we so caught up in worrying about that 80% that doesn't help us instead of just cutting it off and letting it go, which in my own mind, the answer comes really quick. It's scary. It's scary to cut out anything. I'm going to hold on to everything I can. And I'm going to start with just a quick example from my life. I spent many years working in hotels. And I've told this story before as a way to show, kind of brag how good I am. But I'm going to tell you the story and then tell you what I think about it now, looking at this principle. In this hotel I worked at, we would escort each guest up to the room individually. It's a high-end hotel and, you know, higher service. We had a Mr. Green that stayed there. I'll use his name since it's been long enough that he won't know. And he didn't like the first room, so we found another room, and I ended up showing to him to like 8 different rooms before he finally found one that was acceptable for him. You know, and this is a top hotel. So he was a really picky guy. When he checked out, he actually left a bottle of champagne for me with a note thanking me for taking care of him. And I looked at that for years and said, boy, I'm good. Look at how great I took care of this guy. He wasn't a super important guest. He wasn't somebody that was going to bring in a lot of revenue. And I could have just kind of convinced him to stay in the first room, and I could have taken care of 8 more guests in that same time it took me to take care of that one guy. But instead, I put all this effort into one guy that was no more important than the rest and really wasted a lot of my time. So I'm going to kind of put that idea out there. Do we get so wrapped up and we have to do a great job for everybody that we're not willing to let some slide by so we can focus on the bigger picture, the better, you know, the moving upward situation? So what do you think, Willie?
I know we had a discussion beforehand after we started the recording about trying to figure out what that looks like. And you're right. It's so scary to make that jump and make that leap from really having your life comfortable. I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but functional, and to then focus more on 20% and either eliminate, delegate, or automate the 80% other. And whenever I think about it, I'm thinking, how? how is that possible? All I can think about is like bringing one new thing on to into my life, which in the book, that's like the 2X mindset. When the 10X is, no, you need to get that 20% that you are most strong in and focus a lot more on that. And I know one of our friends, she had an example that really, the more I think about it, inspires me to do it with my own business. Her and her husband, they're entrepreneurs. They have their own business. And they had a couple of clients a couple of years ago. And this is when they were just first starting out. And those clients weren't the best of clients. They were always getting after her about payment stuff, getting after her about projects and deadlines and everything, you know, that holds in a business. And her husband were just fed up with it, but those were like some of the only clients they had. And so what do you do? They also had another client who was just a superb client and was paying more than the other three, but was way better in attitude, in mercy, I guess could be the word for it. And so they took this leap that we're talking about. And again, this inspires me so much. Those three clients, they dropped those three clients after their contracts were done and just kept that one client on. Then they focused more on getting more of those one clients. And in a very short time, I don't know specifically, but a very short time, they went from just that one client to several clients, making at least four times more than they did with those other three not so good clients on there. And so it was so inspiring that it was a leap of faith, because they have a family, they have several kids that they're helping and growing in this awesome world that we have. And to put faith and trust into focusing more on the better and the best rather than just the good could have been detrimental to their family. But because they did that, they are more well off than they were before. And I just absolutely love that.
Yeah, I love that. And it makes me think a little about that idea too. So if we kind of put that into a future story or look at how that goes, ideally we want to grow our business through referrals. That's always the best way to grow a business. So if we think about that, the clients we have now are going to be the ones who refer us to their friends. And if the clients we have are, am I allowed to say jerks on the air? If the clients we have are jerks, who are their friends likely to be? Jerks. I shouldn't say jerks, but if the clients we have are troublesome, if they're causing more work, they're lowering our productivity through these things, their friends are likely to be the same kind of people. And we're going to get more of the same kind of clients. If we go for a really good client, they're more likely to have their circle of friends to be a similar type of person. And they're more likely to share those positive stories about us to their friends. A client that's more negative in general is more likely to share negative stories. So by dropping those negative clients, we can actually be, one, preventing more negative clients from coming, and two, dropping a possibility that they're going to be leaving the negative reviews, the bad reviews out there that hurt our business. And instead, we focus on clients that are positive, will give us positive referrals and positive reviews, and free up our time to look for more similar clients and to focus on getting more referrals from those good clients instead. So I think we don't always think about the ripples going out from that, of that focusing on the good clients.
Yeah, that reminds me of, oh, I can't remember who said it. It's happened several times, but there's the top salesperson in a company, and let's say they just have the worst attitude. No one can work with them, but they're making the most money for the company. Are they worth keeping around to harm the culture and morale that's happening in the company that's affecting all the other salespeople? Or would it be better to take that leap of faith, let them go? And even though they are the top sales individual, because, you know, the company is trying to make such a great culture and a value system for what they're doing, and the salesperson isn't, that, you know, what's the better choice? And I know for myself that if I get in that situation, and I've seen other wonderful millionaires and billionaires do the same, that they're willing to let go that top individual to keep the culture, because they know long term the culture is going to stick around a lot more than it is before.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I think with a bigger company, there sometimes can be the idea that the salesperson is the company, or clients are drawn to maybe the salesperson more than the company. And a great salesperson who is a bad person, eventually that's going to come out, and that's going to affect the reputation of the company itself. So you risk a couple of things there. One, a bad salesperson is not going to be happy in your company, and eventually they're going to leave, and they're going to take a lot of their clients with them, because people are drawn lots of times to a salesperson instead of the company. So the longer you hold on a good salesman to a bad person, the more you risk losing more business down the road. And conversely, you also risk losing people from loyalty to your company as they start to realize what a bad person in general that salesperson is, and associate that with your company as well. So focusing on that short-term money in the pocket is tempting to, you know, grab it while you can mentality. But if you instead focus on what's going to be the real long-term growth, what's going to be the thing that's going to keep you in business long-term, I keep saying that, but that really is going to be what gives you that 10x growth, instead of getting a few more sales from a bad person, to be able to create a team that's going to get a lot more sales as you go forward.
Yeah. And you brought up a crucial point in there that I'd love to take a direction in, is long-term, because that's what this whole thing is about. It's about long-term. When you think about 10X is easier than 2X, 2X is the small promotion that you get, or that a 4% raise. Hopefully it's not anything lower than that with inflation right now. Right. But it's just like that little bit of raise that you get. 10X, it's really thinking about long-term. What's going to suit you long-term? And sometimes it is taking a couple steps back so that you can sprint forward. Because I think of it on like a pendulum type thing, of where whenever we move to take some action, it's either when we're super motivated and disciplined that we're able to go and get it, or when we're kind of like in the rut, put pressure on ourselves to get going. But sometimes when we're in that like middle zone of just comfortable, that we don't take that leap of faith, which is great, that I love about this book. And I'd love to get your thoughts on what you were going to share. But like, I know for myself, I had to put my pressure on myself to go back a few steps to then swing forward and sprint towards the goals that I wanted.
Yeah. Leap of faith is a great phrase that really summarizes a lot of this book. Are you willing to take a risk when in reality, if we think about it, it's not much of a risk, but we hold on to the comfort so strongly. Just a simple one. Years ago, I had a little bagel shop that I owned and wasn't making much money, and somebody came in and says, oh, you know, your prices are a bit lower than other ones around here. You could probably raise those prices. And I really said, I don't want to do that. People are going to stop coming here. They're going to be mad at me and all these things. So I finally went and raised my prices about 10% across the board. And I was thinking I would drop some business, but I'd see what happened. Turns out nobody cared at that raise. I'm going to go theoretical a minute here. If I had lost 10% of my customers because of that raise, I would have been making the same amount of money with 10% less work. And I would have had 10% more time to focus on some other aspects of making the shop better. As it turned out, I don't think I lost any customers because of that. And most people actually complimented me on that, the ones that paid enough attention to notice. So I was so afraid of something that didn't make sense, that I would lose everybody because I raised my bagel price 10 cents. In reality, if we lose a few people, but we gain more revenue or more happiness, whatever method we're using to measure that by, we're getting the same results with less effort, which means we have more time to focus on something better. Now, it doesn't mean I can raise my prices 10 times and hope that 10% of the people will stay and I'll make break even there. There's got to be a realistic side to it. But the fact is, we could increase our price or focus on a different client, the more productive client for us, a more productive aspect of our business, and drop parts of it and stay where we are, but have more time and freedom. And to me, that was kind of an eye-opening thing, that if I can make the same amount of money with less effort, I really ought to try and do that. Not even 10xing, just 1xing with 0.9xing effort. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that's funny that you say it that way. 1xing with 0.9xing effort. Because it's not about addition. Addition is that 2x mindset type thing, but it's how to multiply. And it's either adding on more to your strengths and or cutting out what's not working. I'd love to share a practical application I've done. And we've talked about business the last several minutes and how to apply it to your business and how to apply it to that type of world. But what about in our personal lives? What about just simply self-improvement? And I thought about it. And I realized that I'd done this multiple times, but the very first time, Ian, I know you've heard this story multiple times, but back in 2018, I read one book, maybe on average. And I decided to make a goal to read 12, which then led to 40, which then led to 50 that year. But to get that amplification of from one book to 50 books, and now continuously reading 60 plus, I had to 10X myself. And how did I do that? Well, going back to the 80-20 rule that we're talking about, I had to focus down on that 20%, which was figuring out ways to read, either read a paper book or listen to the car, or listen in the car, listen to the car, vroom, vroom.
Yeah.
So that was what I had to focus on. And that 80% was needing to eliminate what wasn't aiming towards that goal. And that 80% for me was the music that I would listen to. That was part of that 80%. When I was driving in the car, if I wanted to reach that goal of going through those 12 to 50 books, then I had to take out the music. And because I took out the music, then I was able to put in listening time. And then when I'm at home, instead of watching YouTube videos or listening to podcasts, it was listening to books. And then during the nighttime, instead of having video game time or games on my phones, which I really love to do, I dialed down and focused on the books. And so it was just little tweaks, right? That's what that 80... That's what the focusing on that 20% is taking out those little things and not really just taking them out, but replacing them with what was aiming you towards your goal. For me, it was taking out the games, taking out the music, and taking out listening to simply videos and watching them, to listening to audiobooks and reading paperback books. And so I thought that was pretty cool, because that's a personal application of, for my life, it's not what everyone wants to do. Everyone doesn't need to read 50 books a year. Everyone doesn't need to focus on self-development, because we all have our personal lives. But that's an example of how my very first time of 10Xing was going from that 1 to 50. And it was eliminating a few and then replacing it with a few things that added on to reaching that goal.
Yeah, I love that. And I've kind of done some of the same things. I realized that I've got time in the car, probably more time than I should have as I'm driving from places, and realize that, okay, I can listen to books in the car and I can make use of that time. Then I found out you can adjust the speed on the audiobooks you're listening. So now I can listen to two books in the time it took me to listen to one book, and I can double that time. And one that I'm struggling to live up to, one of my favorite business guru authors, his name's Jeffrey Gitomer. And he was saying, how much time do you spend sitting at night watching reruns on TV? It's like, okay, I go through spurts where I don't watch TV for a couple of weeks, and then I watch a few hours a night for a couple of weeks, and I almost always watch reruns because I'm too lazy to start a new show. Like, okay, why am I watching something that I already know is going to happen when I could be learning and being productive? I could be getting something else done. Where can you take away the time that's not spent well and put it spending in a more productive place, a place that's going to make you happier in the long run? Because as much as a rerun of Star Trek is wonderful to me, a new client's going to make me a lot happier in the long run. So,
yeah. And it goes back to that one phrase, is what's going to make me happier in the long run.
Yep. I just have to throw out real quick. Akio Morita, the former CEO of, I believe it was Sony. Been a while since I've read about him. But he was asked one time, does Sony do long range planning? And he said, yes. He says, what do you consider long range planning? He said, 1,000 years. Might be a little bit longer than we're looking at now, but are we looking at what we want to be in a month? Or are we looking at what we want to be in 5 years or 10 years? And are we doing the things to get us to that 10-year mark instead of worrying entirely about next week?
Yeah. And there's a balance between it, right? There's a balance between, I think Gary Vaynerchuk's the one that says it. He said, macro patience, micro speed. So macro patience are the big long-term things that we want and that we are going to work towards. But then micro speed of doing the things necessary today in the present to be able to get there and get those things. Which, if your goal is to have a consistent cash flowing business, then it's putting the work in today of, instead of, you know, playing Pokemon Go or something like that, maybe you read a book about business, or maybe you listen to a podcast about how to make sales or amplify it, or going through like a certification or sales training on getting more clients. Right.
I like Pokemon Go.
I do too. I consider myself a Pokemon master, just of the first five generations. Cause after that, there's just too much now. I'm with you. I love Pokemon too. And that's another great idea, is that sometimes it's not eliminating everything that we have, but instead replacing it with better things. I know that I still play games, but I do not play games as much as I did back in high school. It's scheduled into my calendar. That's my relief time. But it's not to the amount of time that distances me from not achieving my goals, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think that kind of goes into the, I kind of point 9x to reduce things. Maybe we reduce some of those fun things to a smaller amount, just like portion control and dieting. It doesn't mean you have to give up all the cake. You just have to have a smaller piece. Give up some of that time you're wasting so that you can appreciate and really enjoy the little bit you still have, and then focus more on what's really going to make you happier. And having that focus on what the real job is, the real important thing. There's a quote he does in the book, busy is the opposite of productive. And sometimes we do stuff just to be busy because that makes us feel better that we're busy. But we're busying ourselves with things that are actually reducing our productivity instead of taking time to focus on what actually makes us productive. Maybe we need 10 minutes to play Pokemon Go to clear our brain for a minute. And then we go back to actually doing productive things rather than spending an hour on Pokemon Go and then spending an hour restoring our database by height instead of weight, ridiculous things that we do that are not productive. So little changes in productivity can actually give us huge changes in outcomes. And I kind of more from my topic there, but I want to finish kind of my statement with one more example that he gives in the book. So Mr. Beast, the social media star and guru and all of that, he made a comment, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here because I don't have the book in front of me. He said, you don't need to make 10 more to get 10 times the results. You need to make one video that's 10% better than the other videos. And then you'll get 200, 300, 500 times the views in that one video that's good. So a lot of mediocre stuff does not equal one great thing. I wrote down here, if you're 1% better than your competition, that may be all it takes to get 80% more business. You don't need to be 80% better. You just need to be a little bit better than your competition.
So. I love that. You absolutely don't. And as we're reaching time and wrapping up our thoughts, I'll give my final thought, and I'd love to hear your final thoughts as well, Ian. But go off of that. I love the difference between first and second place, because first place is not you're not doing 10 times more if you're in first place than if you're in second place. You're just doing that little bit more, that extra push that made you a millimeter second faster. But because you put in a little bit more effort and just that little millimeter of time, then it became you're in first place. And how much recognition do you get between first and second? First, they get all the interviews. The first place gets all the everything, the awards, the gold, the recognition. And then second place, yeah, they get the award, but they are not known as well as the first place. And it's not simply that 10 times working harder effort. It's because they were just a little bit better. And because they were a little bit bitter, they got the gold instead of the silver. I'd love to hear your final thoughts on that, Ian.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I was watching a rerun on TV, but they brought out a good point in one. So do you remember what Buzz Aldrin said when he stepped on the moon? I mean, I guess no, because nobody does, because he was the second person to step on the moon. Everyone knows Neil Armstrong's One Small Step for Man. Aldrin did everything Neil Armstrong did, but maybe 0.001% behind him, which put Neil Armstrong as the leader of that mission. And now the world knows what he said, and we know the name Buzz Aldrin, but nobody knows what he said on the moon. So that tiny bit of effort, that focus on the best in one aspect is sometimes all it takes to get to be a lot better.
Absolutely. Just that little bit more effort. And that's a great principle of the 80-20 rule is focus on that long term and then put in a little bit more extra effort. Because literally, as I put up the book again, how world-class entrepreneurs achieve more by doing less. You don't focus on doing everything a little. You don't focus on everything doing more. You just focus on what matters more, and then everything else a little bit less, right? So it was awesome to be able to talk about this principle for you champion listeners. Go and read this book. I'm sure we'll have another discussion about this. 10X is easier than 2X by Dan Sullivan. It was great to be able to have this discussion with you, Ian. And it was great to be able to record this and share it with everyone else. For those who are looking for more episodes, you can find us on YouTube, at My Champion Circle, or you can go to our website, www.mychampioncircle.com. And there you will find all the links to our social medias and to more videos and audios just like this. So goodbye, champions. We will hit you up on the next one.